Kia ora and welcome to this episode of The Amateur Austenite. I'm Frances Duncan, an author and the founder of the Jane Austen Society of Aotearoa New Zealand. My co-host is Emmy.
Kia ora.
Today we're discussing Chapter 2 of Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen. In Chapter 2, they arrive in Bath with zero fanfare, buy dresses and go to a ball, but do not dance. So what are your first impressions?
Austen is brutal to this girl. Literally just every single time she has a possibility, she's like, she's good, but It's like, it's the best that she can do.
So what she's making fun of is the fact that heroines in these sort of novels are supposed to be beautiful and accomplished and intelligent, and Catherine's just like kind of there.
Yeah, fair. Like, lots of people are just kind of there. The fact that also her parents just like have no concept of what sending off your daughter to the city to be introduced is or involves. Please don't get robbed. Remember to dress warmly.
Mrs. Morland didn't caution against the violence of noblemen and baronets as delight in forcing young ladies away to some remote farmhouse because she knew so little of lords and baronets that she entertained no notion of their general mischievousness and was wholly unsuspicious of danger to her daughter from their machinations.
It's like, clearly this is someone who hasn't read Dangerous Liaisons. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not sure if
Or Lady Susan.
Yeah, well, so Lady Susan, some people are like, is it influenced by Dangerous Liaisons?
I can see it. I can see it so clearly.
The end of the first paragraph, she says that Catherine's mind is about as ignorant and uninformed as the female mind at 17 usually is, which is a diss to all 17-year-olds.
But also, like, I feel that's like the real truth universally acknowledged, though.
Austen often comments on female education. Like, she has a whole thing about it in the first chapter of all the stuff that Catherine's learnt. But I think there's also a bit about, well, people get so pissy at women not being very smart and educated, but they don't get the same level of education as men.
Yeah. If there isn't an actual useful reason to learn something, it's very standard for people to therefore not want to learn about it.
Except that, you know, school these days, we learn lots of stuff that's not really that relevant, but might be potentially for somebody at some point. But during the Regency, or this you'd probably say was the Georgian period, no, if there wasn't a practical use for you to learn something, why would you?
Yeah. Don't fill your head with useful things.
Useless things. And her sister Sally, who's changed her name to Sarah. For what young lady of common gentility will reach the age of 16 without altering her name as far as she can? That's still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
People still, like, choose nicknames that better suit who they are. And these days, it's like when people are figuring out what their gender identities are as well, finding something that fits who they are so much better.
Full respect to parents, but like, you are naming a screaming infant. That stage, that infant doesn't have a personality yet. By the time they're 17, they probably have some, like, you know, reflection of who they are and how they want to be perceived in the world. And sometimes you were just wrong. Sometimes Chastity wants to have her home moment, and you know, sometimes
Chastity's not a good name. No, although it also sounds like a stripper name at the same time.
This is the thing, is I feel like if you name your child for a virtue, you're guaranteeing that to be the one that they do not pursue.
Talking about names, during this time period, well, it was very definitely heterosexual marriage, and you took your husband's name. And the scary thing is that Catherine's 17, that potentially could be a marriageable age, and she could, like, take someone else. Like, it's kind of like losing your identity and gaining someone else's.
Mm. It's a very fae bargain.
Can you explain that for people who don't know what that means?
If you give your name to the fae, then the fae has your name and you no longer do, and therefore they have control over you. You get married, you give your name to your new husband, and suddenly you're his now. Legally, financially, all that.
I mean, yes. Also, that sounds kind of like the Rumpelstiltskin, but like, that's an old thing, right?
Yeah.
If you know someone's true name, you have power over them.
Yeah, that is very, very old. In that same paragraph, they mention that the Morlands are, you know, going about this departure with a degree of moderation and composure. They don't know that they're the main characters in a book. Very clearly, everything that they're doing is just like not main character energy. But they are the main characters.
Yeah, like Catherine doesn't have the main character energy, right?
No. That's what the entire first chapter of being like, this chick is present, okay. She's not main character TM, but she is a main character. She's the main character of her life. And that just happens to also have been written by Jane Austen.
I mean, maybe that's a good lesson for us, that we should all try to be the main character in our life. Most of the time I feel like I'm a side character in someone else's story.
Ouch. Yeah.
Austen sounds kind of disappointed that Catherine and her family aren't following the rules.
Mm.
Guys, I'm writing this story. Can you not be a little bit more dramatic, please?
Can I get some wailing, some crying, something?
Tantrums.
Yeah.
When they get to Bath, they settle in Pulteney Street, which is an actual street that exists. Austen's so good, not only at setting things in specific time, but specific places. Some small places like Fullerton will be made up, but when she goes to Bath and London, she lists real streets, and you can literally, like, there are maps of where characters go, which is so cool. And we meet the Allens, who she's going to Bath with. Mrs. Allen. Oh, Mrs. Allen. I mean, Jane Austen just is not very nice about her either.
No. One of the numerous class of females whose society can raise no other emotion than surprise at there being any men in the world who could like them well enough to marry them.
Ouch! Yep. She's got the air of a gentlewoman, she's quiet, she's got an inactive good temper and a trifling turn of mind. All she cares about is fashion. When they go to the ball, she's more worried about the safety of her gown than Catherine. And when they sit down to tea, she's talking about her gown again. I'm so glad. Didn't get it hurt. Austen points out she is a good person for Catherine to go on holiday with because she's excitable about stuff. She wants to go to all the shops.
Because I haven't been able to figure out like the age of Mrs. Allen, but it feels like she's very young. And either she is physically young or she is still just like
mentally
young. Acting young. Part of the going through the ball and just kind of dragging Catherine behind her is it's that very, you haven't learnt how to be like a good host TM, and you haven't learnt how to kind of have that concert safety aspect of like, how do you take someone to a mosh pit for the first time? Not like this.
She does make sure she's properly attired.
Yeah.
You've got to go and make sure that you're wearing the right thing before going, and you don't buy off the rack during this period. Gowns would have been made. So actually getting a gown in 3 to 4 days is pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. That was baffling.
She is referred to as Catherine's friend, which I think the terminology is a little bit different than how we would consider more like companion or chaperone. These days, it would be weird if you just asked someone if you could take their kid on holiday with you. But when you live in Fullerton, which is away from things and small, you're like, well, we're going. I want someone to hang out with because women needed female companionship. Mm-hmm. And your daughter's never been out to the city, she needs to see the world and meet eligible young men. It sounds like a nice thing.
Depending on who you're going with, it can go really well or really badly.
I feel like Catherine's maybe already getting a little tired of Mrs. Allen because Mrs. Allen's like, I wish we had acquaintance here. And Catherine's like, yeah, you've said that already. I'm just going to stop replying.
Mrs. Allen doesn't know how to be a hostess in this kind of situation. She's brought along Catherine more for herself than for Catherine. And Catherine has just kind of realized that at this moment of like, oh, I am the equivalent of your handbag. Like I am here so that you've got something to look at, talk to, interact with that isn't the rest of your dress.
That is the best thing that anybody's ever said. What I don't care is Catherine's so polite that when Mr. Allen finds them and goes, how's it going? She said, yes, we're having a very agreeable time. Like, are you not bored out of your tree and squashed and what?
Again, this is, so you took your friend to their first mosh pit for a band that they've never heard of, and you were like, yeah, this is awesome, I'm loving it, I look so great, yeah. And they're like, I don't know who's playing, I don't like this music, I can't breathe, what's going on? And then, you know, their boyfriend comes by and is like, hey, how's everything going? And you're like, great, thanks.
At the end, as everybody starts to leave, which tells you how long they've been there. They stay till right at the end.
Yeah.
Suddenly people can see her and she'll be discovered. But no, two guys are like, I mean, she's kind of pretty. And Catherine's like, oh my God, That's not so much better than I thought it was. So this is something I think I discussed with Emma in one of our episodes, that it's something that I have, and I don't know if it's universal to all people who identify as female, about wanting to be told that they're pretty.
I don't know. I don't tend to seek that, but I will specifically coordinate and plan outfits in a way that I want them to get complimented. But that is also because I live for the high that is the mutual compliment, which is where you're walking down a street and you see someone in a really cool outfit, so you go to compliment them. They're already coming towards you because they think that your outfit is really cool and they want to compliment your outfit. This happened to me, it's actually twice, and it is the best thing. Like, you will ride that high for the rest of the week.
Oh, I love that. So I wasn't sure if you'd know when they're talking about her getting into her chair. So it's kind of like...
Oh, like sedan chair style.
Yeah.
Right.
It always makes me think of movies where they have men with no shirts carrying women around in like a seat on poles. Except that obviously the men are very, very dressed. Very dressed. And that's how Catherine goes home. I suppose they're not far enough away from the rooms to necessitate a carriage.
Yeah.
So chairs are probably less cumbersome and they don't have to worry about getting the horses out and stuff like that. So do you have any predictions? Where do you think this is going so far?
Honestly, I don't know. At the moment, it just seems like Catherine is going to have a very unhappy holiday and go home like, this is... All right.
And that is our discussion of Chapter 2 of Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen. I'm Frances Duncan. This has been Emmy. Thank you for listening. We wish you happy reading. I mean, when I go on holidays, I want to have like the adventures that people do in books. How do they make friends with people that they've never met and have these big, wonderful adventures? I go places and don't talk to anybody. Is that the problem?
I will say that does sound like, you know, step one, talk to people might be... Yeah, that's a face that says you're going to be trying it on the next holiday.